condemnations of laziness in the book of Proverbs. So it's not, how many chapters are there in the book of Proverbs? 31. So there's at least, if you average it out, you've got one chapter that talks about the conduct of laziness. Laziness is paired with being unwise and condemned, while hard work is paired with being wise and praised. Those are two activities, and the way that they're presented and contrasted against each other. Today we might contrast laziness with, what type of person would you describe as not being lazy? How about somebody that's a real go-getter? Or she has a type A personality, meaning that they're always active, they're always at it. You know, that's in a contrast to someone that's lazy. We might describe someone that is lazy as not worth a plug nickel. Needing a kick in the pants to get up and get going. Growing up, my dad said, hustle. I tell you to go do something, I want you to run. I don't want you to walk. What does the Bible have to say about it? The Bible talks about Jesus condemns not using one's capability in the parable of the talents. In the parable of the talents, men were given, in this case, funds, to go out and take care of raising more, putting the money to use. There were three different men. What did the three different men do? The first one took his. The first two took theirs, invested it, and doubled it. And the third one did what? Hid it in the ground and came back. And when the master asked for it, what did he say? Here's yours back. I know you were a hard master and I didn't want to lose it. And what did the master say? You could have at least given it to the money changers and I could have had my interest. That's the minimum that he at least had expected. But Jesus is making the point that we all are given all given talents, all given abilities, all given the capability to do things. And as a result of that, we have a responsibility to be able to carry it out. There's a phrase, when opportunity and ability meet, what does that garner? A responsibility to act. References in Proverbs can be grouped kind of in four categories. Things which keep people from working, traits of a lazy person, natural fruits of laziness, and the consequences of laziness. And that's kind of how we're going to break it out in our study tonight on the topic of laziness. So which things keep people from working? Now, one of the passages it talks about in Proverbs says too much sleep. Proverbs 6 and 30, or 10, excuse me. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Proverbs is basically saying don't lay around and sleep all the time or you won't get anything done. Well, that's pretty common sense, is it not? How many times did Abraham get up early to take care of something? When he was going to offer Isaac, rose early in the morning. We see references of people rising early in the morning in prayer. You know, they didn't wait till noon to get busy about the day. And passages like this will make those points as well. I love this one. Proverbs 26 and 14. As the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. I've got to roll over. So when you talk about, one of the passages here is it compares to animals. It uses the reference of a sloth and a sluggard. When we think of a slug, what do we think of? Greasy looking thing that crawling around on the grass. Well, a slug, how fast does it move? You got to watch it a long time to see it move. Okay, that's the reference here that it's making in the comparison. Same way with a sloth. Sloth isn't kind of a tree-hanging mammal of some sort, but when it's moving, it moves ever so slowly. by comparison. Proverbs 19 and 15. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Why will an idle person suffer hunger? Not getting up and doing anything? Too lazy to get up and feed themselves? Too lazy to get out and earn a living? Okay. Proverbs 20 and 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. Now, the opening of the eyes there is in contrast to actually being asleep and not doing anything at all. All of these passages make the point that laying around is not viewed favorably in the book of Proverbs. Just laying around and not accomplishing anything is not acceptable. Jesus makes the point about spreading the gospel that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Are we sleeping spiritually? It's a fitting passage. If we're laying around spiritually and not accomplishing spreading the word, it's a direct comparison with physical activity. Too much talking. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. When we're employed, what are we there to do? We're paid to work, are we not? Now, there's some things, you know, you got to communicate with people. You want to be, you know, cordial and social. But you don't necessarily want to strike up and talk about the entire family out events of the weekend. Or, you know, spend a half hour talking about the latest game and the outcome of it and how you didn't agree with the referee's calls and whatever else you want to talk about. Our peers look at us and say, are we actually carrying our own weight? Communication through social media fits this category. That's a harping point for me. Communication through social media is detrimental to work productivity. Now, I believe it fits into this category when it talks in Proverbs about too much talk. Every time one checks their Twitter, their Snapchat, their Facebook, their Tinder accounts, they're not working and being productive. They're not accomplishing what they're being paid to do. This is really, really small text here, sorry. It takes an average of 25 minutes to get back on track after an interruption. Okay, how many people text today? Show of hands, how many people text? How many of you got more than 10 texts today? Okay, how many of you got more than 50 texts today? Probably going to only be a few on the younger side. You realize that at 50 texts, there's absolutely no way you can accomplish and concentrate on anything you're trying to do for the rest of the day. If you got 10 and you got interrupted with those 10, that's almost 2.5 hours of interruption in trying to get back on track. I counted my emails for the day earlier. Just related to work. There was 50. I didn't get a whole lot accomplished today. Now, when we look at how we communicate and the ways that we want to communicate, there are effective ways of communicating and accomplishing things. So when it talks about too much talking, we need to be conscious about how we talk and making it effective and not just carrying on chatter just for the sake of carrying on chatter. Soapbox over. Sorry. No motivation. Proverbs 19 and 24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. This is the idea of somebody that's too lazy to dip their food out of their plate and eat it. Proverbs 26 and 15. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and he wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. Too lazy to feed himself. Sluggard does not see anything wrong with this, and that's part of the problem. To the sluggard, this is normal behavior. to a sloth and to a slug that are crawling around on the ground, they're running at as fast of a pace as they normally are used to running at. Proverbs 26 and 15, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer sensibly. There is always a reason, an excuse, a last word in the sluggard's mouth. Oh, I can't do this today, it's too hot. Well, I can't do it today, it's too cold. You know, that's kind of like Goldilocks, waiting for the porridge to be just right. Get up, get busy, obeying God's commands. That's the message here about motivation. Things that keep people from working, procrastination. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. There are certain times where activities have to take place, do they not? If you don't plant corn in the spring, are you going to have corn in the summer and fall? No. It's not going to grow. It's not going to germinate properly. You're not going to have a crop. That's a common expression. If a man won't work, neither shall he eat. Well, the idea here about procrastinating is if you don't do things when the time is right, you can't be successful in your endeavors. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now that's in general talking about there are things that are going to come to pass in certain times, but it also makes the point that there is a specific time for certain things to occur. And procrastination goes against every principle of that. How many of you have heard the example of strike while the iron's hot? Okay. It relates to the idea of blacksmithing, does it not? You've got a piece of iron and it's hot. While it's hot, it's malleable. And you can beat on it and you can shape it and so on. But if you start beating on it while it's cold, what's going to happen? You're going to ruin your hammer. Okay. A stitch in time saves nine. We made the point in some of the earlier Proverbs about that. You know, if you don't take care of things at the right time, they're going to break down. You don't change the oil in your vehicle and run it out, you burn the engine up. You lose a transmission. You wear out a tire because you don't put the air in the tires. You know, those types of things all fit in that category. A word that needs to be said to a fellow brother that's left undone for too long can ruin the entire relationship. Book of Proverbs makes the point a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The point there is made about how smooth the speech is, but it's also fitting when a word is fitly spoken, it's also fitly spoken at the right time. So procrastinating on something like a word that needs to be said is no longer fitly spoken, it's out of place. To him that knows to do good and does it not, it is sin. Traits of a lazy person. He's full of excuses. Proverbs 26 and 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. I can't do anything. Proverbs 22 and 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets if I go out. Proverbs 26 and 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. We've made that point earlier in another example, but it fits here with talking about making excuses. When one thinks themselves wise in their own eyes, they're going to say, well, whatever I say, it's true. Traits of a lazy person, he wastes what he has. Proverbs 22 and 27, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. That really brings it to home, does it not? He went to the trouble of going to hunt so he could have food, but he's too lazy to cook it. Now, there's some things that you can kill in hunting that I don't know that I could stomach to eat, but the point here he's making, he's too lazy to actually fix the food that he was going out to gather. Proverbs 18 and 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. That doesn't speak favorably, does it? It's making the contrast there that someone that's lazy effectively destroys things. What are the natural fruits of laziness? Laziness brings poverty. Proverbs 13 and 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Now, if you only read the first part of that, he gets nothing, you're not going to necessarily come to the idea of poverty. But here it contrasts it in this proverb, that inactivity results in nothing, but activity results in one being able to strengthen or garner or earn, and in this case, a living or be richly supplied. Proverbs 10, 4 through 5. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of a diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. We don't go out and harvest like they would have in those days. A typical harvest in that time would have been one where an individual would have to go out and with a sickle or a scythe go out and harvest the grain crop. They would have to shock it up into sheaths. Then they would have to go out and gather those in. And in order to process the grain, what did they have to do? They had to take it and they had to tread it out and blow the chaff away, get the wind to blow the chaff away, and gather it together. All of that's in many cases done as an automatic process today, but is very intensive from a labor standpoint in that day. If you slept through it, were you going to get anything? No. You weren't going to have the food gathered that you needed through the winter to feed your family. Laziness puts one under tribute. And Proverbs 12 and 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be forced to labor. That's the idea there is that obviously someone that's out there diligently working, whether it be someone that has built a business, grown and now employing people, he has the ability, whereas another individual that's lazy and not as industrious about going about and trying to establish a business or other types of things, he's going to have to work for somebody. Or in the case of a slave, because they had absolutely nothing, they were forced to labor. What are the natural fruits of laziness? Well, laziness leads to unfulfilled desires. I have an awful lot of projects at home that are not finished. Now, I could categorize that in I'm lazy and I just don't want to finish them. Sometimes that's probably too, I'm procrastinating on finishing them. I have a whole set of walnut boards cut and laid out, drying downstairs to be able to make a Christmas present for Sandra, and I hadn't started it yet. I don't know that I'm going to make it. But an individual here, leading to unfulfilled desires, I haven't made that a priority, have I? If I want to make plans to teach someone and don't take the first steps to go and find the person and talk to them and engage them, am I ever going to have that first study? Not likely. if I avoid interacting with an individual that I know needs to be taught, and don't actually take the first attempt to say, well, hey, I'd like to have a Bible study with you, I'm never going to be able to convert them. They may say, okay, well, wow, he's living a nice life, but will they ever really engage deeply enough to learn? Probably not. This passage in Proverbs 11, 4, or 21, 24 through 26. The scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor all day long, craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. So the sluggard here craves and craves to do things, but he was not willing to do it. But the righteous, by comparison, doesn't hold back. What are the consequences of laziness? Shame. We've mentioned passages before. You know, it makes the point that the son that does not do the harvest brings shame. Proverbs 10 and 5, he who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps during the harvest causes shame. In that day and time, if the son was not helping with the rest of the family, would he have been viewed favorably by the neighbors? Would he have been viewed favorably by his brothers? Probably not, because they're having to do the work. Was there a bit of that favoritism that not necessarily brought shame but brought contention between brothers in Joseph's family? We see that they were out tending the flock and Joseph comes to them and telling them what they're doing wrong. There's a bit of angst between that. Obnoxious to others. Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Smoke burns the eyes. It's uncomfortable. I really can't say that I've ever tasted vinegar, but I don't think it would be, based off of how it smells, I'm pretty certain I wouldn't enjoy the taste of it. The idea there is it's painful. Nobody wants to be around them. It's obnoxious. You know. Consequences of laziness are gossip. You got too much time on your own hands, what do you typically start to do? Well, what's a proverb, or so to speak, an idle mind is the devil's workshop? 1 Timothy 3 and 15. Besides that, this is talking in the passage about young widows and not wanting them to have idle time and wanting them to be about business because they did not want them to gossip. Besides that, they learned to be idlers going about from house to house, and not only idlers but also gossips and busybodies, saying that they what they should not. Is any of this topic of laziness pitched in a favorable light? No, it's not. We don't use the term lazy over a ton in normal conversation. You know, we only use it generally if we're referring to an individual that's not being viewed favorably. The Bible picks this word and describes an entire category of activity, inactivity, that people don't view favorably. And our society, in many cases, allows it, fosters it, doesn't condemn it, caters toward it, and we all have to be conscious of it. As I made the point earlier on social media, it's only come about in the last 20 years. And only to the true extent, probably in the last 10 years of the advent of Facebook and some of the other activities that just consume and cater toward the idea of consuming an individual's time. Used to be we got the news in the newspaper and we'd sit and read the newspaper. Well, when you got to the end of the page, you really wasn't anything left there. But when you get to the end of your first page on a social media account, what can you keep doing? You can scroll on down. Go to the next thing. If I'm sitting and reading news feeds on MSN, and I get to the bottom of the page, you know what there is at the bottom of the page? More. If I don't watch it, I can spend a half hour, an hour, sitting and reading. Nope, and lose track of time completely. I'm talking to myself as much as I am to anybody else here this evening. The idea of laziness and the consequences of it are that we won't be viewed favorably if we're categorized in that behavior. Thoughts and comments on laziness? I've heard that too. What Mike makes the point, he's seen comments about people trying to do social media fasting or phone fasting, where you just put it away and you don't interact with it for a period of time. I'm afraid some people would come into a complete withdrawal. I've gotten to where I'm at work, if I want to get anything done, I lay my phone down on my desk and I just walk off and leave it. Of course, they're complaining about not being able to find me in the building. The way of a slothful man is like a hedge of thorns. So, that's pretty bad. I know that I've walked through a briar patch before, and it's no fun. It just grabs you every which way. It's going to be painful. Other comments? What can you see as a motivator to someone that's falling into this behavior? I'm open for suggestions because, you know, interacting with employees and interacting with children or interacting with extended family, you know, there's elements of it that rear their head at different points. That's true. Well, it goes to the idea of motivation. What is it that motivates people? And they're true. You know, if you got an employee that's not pulling their weight, can you find something that is a task that they'll really excel at that they're motivated to go do? Sometimes it works. Somebody that wants to buy a nice new car, they need to, okay, I got to work for it. I got to find a better way to do this, or put more hours in, or save more, all of that. Other comments? I got wound up and talked fast tonight, so I'm sorry, I'm running low on material. Other passages that talk to laziness. We don't see that category or that attitude exhibited by any of the apostles, do we? When they went forward, they had to walk long distances, did they not, to get to where they were going to go. We don't know how many miles Paul walked on the missionary journeys to deliver the message all over Asia Minor and other areas. It was an industrious effort. It was a dedicated effort, certainly in contrast to the idea of an individual that was being lazy. Those are our examples for being able to go out and behave as we should with respect to teaching, putting forth effort to be able to spread the word.
State of California about to try and pass a law, put a charge on all the Texans. So if they do that, there'd be a lot of Texans, at least.
Well, that's an interesting approach, so much so that any time we've seen people talk about passing laws on drinking soft drinks as an extra form of taxation as it relates to obesity, sin taxes of some sort, not in spelling your words correctly, but in actual taxes on behaviors that people categorize as sins. Alcohol, tobacco, different things through the years fall in that same category. And if it's something that people are going to just go and do from the standpoint of texting and they can find a way to tax it and generate revenue off of it, they probably would. That's very true. I've heard the 80-20 rule that 80% of the work's done by 20% of the people, and the corollary to that is 80% of the problems were created by 20% of the people. And Jack Welch, who ran, he did GE, if I'm not mistaken, for years. And his rule on that was you promote your top 10% every year and you dismiss your bottom 10% every year until you finally get a better and better staff all the time. And it goes through the idea of culling those that are not being productive. Do we want to be in that category? In God's sight with respect to being spiritually active, or in our physical endeavors or our efforts in the workforce today, or in how society sees us in our activities? How many people have driven by a house and it's just grown up in weeds? And you think, wow, somebody's let that one go down. And now sometimes that happens because a person is sick. You don't know. You can always tell yourself a story. We talked about telling ourselves stories in our lessons with Brother Maxson. You know, what story we tell ourselves and create about a certain event, it can be totally different from what we perceive. But your first impression when you drive by a dilapidated building or a house with the paint peeling off of it, those people really don't care, do they? That's your first impression. That may not be the case. They may not be able to do any better. Topic here of laziness is not pointed at an individual that is physically doing the best or mentally doing the best that they're capable of. It's not talking about handicaps. It's not talking about a person that is excelling to the best of their talents and their abilities, even though they have limited abilities. It's talking about the people who have ability beyond measure, that choose not to use it. And that's probably the biggest condemnation. Any other comments and thoughts? He was a tent maker. He earned his own living. As we prepare for Sunday morning, we're going to have two series on the topic of the tongue. Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. The rest of the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. We're going to tie those together. But with respect to the tongue, part of what we want to tie into these lessons is the idea of some of the principles that we learned in our discussion on crucial conversations, and how it is important for us to listen in how we communicate, how we pick up on conversations that have turned, how we deal with people when we know that a conversation has turned or is about to go bad, and how we present ourselves as Christians in dealing with those things with people that aren't Christians and also with each other. And I think it'll be valuable to see how Proverbs talks to us about the tongue and what we can learn from the book of Proverbs there. Verse 30 through 34 of chapter 24, using the King James Version. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. All of those things garnered from the fact that the wise man walked past and saw a broken down fence and a yard full or a field full of briars. Appreciate everyone's comments tonight. Thank you very much.